Great. We've got another wonderful surprise. My beautiful wife is going to share a message this morning. Assurance. So let's give her a hand too. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got my Bible. Well, I hope I can make this microphone sound as sweet. That was beautiful. Carolyn, Stephanie, I believe you guys wrote it. Angela helped. And Dave and Steve Plett, you guys have just been phenomenal. That's Christmas plays have just ramped up a huge big notch. Amen? Oh, my goodness. And 180? Oh, man, to the teachers out there, what a blessing. What a richness we have in the next generation. Amen? I have this wonderful privilege of trying to follow that. So, Father, I just thank you that you are a wonderful God. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the gifts that you have so richly and poured out upon your people. And, Father, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to share the good news. That you are our Jehovah Shalom. You are the Prince of Peace. And that was, this whole play was about peace. And Holy Spirit, we just say thank you for being here. Thank you that you rest in this place. And Lord, I thank you that already that you are working in our hearts. And Father, I just thank you for soft hearts. I thank you for ears to hear. Holy Spirit, what you would say through me today. And Lord, I just pray that the words that I would use would bring life, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that anything that is not of you would fall just like that snow and bring forth no fruit, oh God. But Father, I just pray for life in this place. And I thank you for your sweet anointing. In Jesus' wonderful name, the church say, amen. Amen. Oh, I brought up my Christmas card and not my notes. Thank you, Mark. Yesterday, Mike and I had the rare occasion of actually being able to sit and talk to each other. Okay, joke. We do that on a regular basis. But yesterday, we were just chatting about this morning and just how thrilled we were and with what anticipation we were sitting here. Like, what are the kids going to be doing? And we were talking about peace. And I just so happened to just to mention a few things to Michael. And he said to me, well, why don't you share that tomorrow? And I said, no. You, the preacher, I'm just sharing. So these were just thoughts that God has been, things I've been mulling over in my mind for the last little while. And I now have the opportunity of sharing them with you. Peace. First slide. You've possibly seen this driving along the Bowen Road outside CCC. I've seen this there. I've seen it up at the neighborhood church from time to time on their boards. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. It's something so simple, yet so profound. No God. And that biblical word no is an intimate word. How well, how intimately do you know God? Know God, you will know peace. If you don't know God, and I'm really praying and believing that by the end of our time here together, that we will have a richer revelation of who our mighty God is. Amen? When we don't know God, or if God is not Lord of all, we don't have peace. God's name, one of his names, one of his many attributes, he is known as Jehovah Shalom. And we'll find that in Judges 6, where Gideon has defeated some his enemies, and he builds an altar. And to that altar, he calls it Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. God is peace. And if we can turn, we're going to read a lot of Bibles today, a lot of scripture in your Bible today. So my first scripture is going to be Isaiah 9. Thank you, Marcus. We read this in the prayer meeting this morning. You know, Father, I just thank you for peace. I'm talking about peace and my heart is just thumping. That thumpity, thumpity, thumpity that you hear, that is not the reindeers. That is my heart. And the word peace is such a shalom, is such a rich word. It doesn't just merely mean hello. And I was going to try and do an Adele impression, but I won't. When the Jews greet each other and they say, hello. When they say shalom, it doesn't just mean hello. It means a whole richness. It's such a rich word. And I started looking up the different meanings. It means a completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation and discord. So when a Hebrew greets you and he says shalom, all of those attributes, all of those characteristics, he's speaking into your life. Isn't that beautiful? I speak harmony. I speak prosperity. I speak freedom of agitation. I speak peace into your life. That is our Jehovah Shalom. It's a richness. There's a fullness. There's a completeness. There is nothing lacking in our God. He is mighty. Amen? Come on. He is a good God. So let's read Isaiah 9, from verse 6. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. You know what, if you'd like to read this with me, please do, because otherwise it's just my voice the whole time. And he will be called, come on, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. And turn with me to Luke. I love this time of the year. And I honestly don't know why we restrict reading these Christmas verses to this time of the year. I don't know why we only sing Christmas carols at Christmas time. Joy to the world. Come, let us adore him. If we could bring that in, worship leaders, into our songs throughout the year, it would be fabulous. Here we go. So we're going to read from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. He will be a baby wrapped in a manger, wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. But the angel said, glory to God in the highest of heaven, and on earth, peace be on whom his favor rests. So I was thinking, back in that day, the Romans ruled, there was not much peace. So when an angel of the Lord comes and he says, do not be afraid, peace be upon you. That was good news. Amen. So here we have the first mention of peace be to you on whom his favor rests. Who does God's favor rest upon? Unanimously, we say, on us, those who know the Lord, those who know him. And I love the scripture in 1 John 3. Do you want to turn with me to that quickly? It says that how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished, just like the snow was falling and lavishing upon the kids today. So the Father lavishes his love upon us. Lavishes his love, that he calls us his children. When we know him, we are his children. Amen? So, Father, I pray that even today, right now, that there's revelation of your lavish love. He is not a God with a short arm. He's not a God with a tight fist. He is a God who lavishes. He just wants to pour out the absolute sweet abundance of all who he is. He is that God of peace, of completeness, of wholeness. He's lavishing that on you right now. And I just pray that even now that your eyes are being opened to the bigness and the lavishness and the completeness of who our God is. When we know him as Lord and Savior, we are his children. Amen? So, true peace comes when we have a revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. When we repent of our sins, when we come to that revelation that, you know what, I can't do this on my own, of my own self-righteousness, and our relationship with God is restored. I was lost, but now I am found. We then can walk in the freedom. That is, even this morning we sang that song, my chains are gone. You know, the Bible tells us that before we knew God, we were enemies. I don't know if you can even remember before you accepted Jesus or allowed Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. I know what I was like. If somebody just merely even muttered the gospel to me, something would rise up. I was extremely blasphemous and mocking. I was an enemy of the cross. But when Jesus opened my eyes to who he was, to who he is, I'm now a lover and say, Jesus, you are the lover of my soul. Amen? So, and that is what freedom is, right? There is freedom that comes when we know Jesus. Because the things, oh, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but turn with me to Colossians 3, to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. Do you have to do anything? What the word says to me here is that may God sanctify you. Lord, come and sanctify me. But I have to be willing. I have to be obedient. I have to submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit comes, and he sanctifies me. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about, I'm now a new creature in Christ. Who remembers that old song? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Anybody else? All things are passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. Come on, you 1980s saviors. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. When we confess the word, right? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror, that is who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. And I felt like we needed to sing that. We needed to get that so embedded into our heart and into our soul and into our spirit. I'm a brand new person. The things that I did before, thank you, Jesus, that you have sanctified me. You have cleansed me. You have washed me. And I now know you as my Jehovah Shalom. You are you make me complete. That is what makes me free. It doesn't mean I've got to go running around, I'm free, I'm free. That's got nothing to do with it. You know what? I can shout that out as much as I want and still be chained by jealousy. I can still be chained by discord. Okay? Freedom is not singing, I am free. Free is living in the freedom of knowing who Jesus Christ is. Freedom is knowing that Jesus is Lord of Lords, that he is the master of the universe, that he is in control of everything. That is freedom. Amen? Come on, people. I'm loud. I need a bit of loudness, right? Please just pander to my insecurity right here, okay? Yeah. May God himself. And then let's just turn to Colossians 3. You know one thing, like when I was doing this yesterday, I said to Michael, oh, I'm battling because he said to me, you're going on rabbit trails, aren't you? I said, no, but the word of God is so alive. You know, it's almost like, oh my goodness, you know when you just taste something so good and you say, oh, can I have one more cookie, another one, and before you know it, you're just like, oh my goodness. That's the thing about when you get into God's word. I started looking at what does it mean to have His peace? His peace is beautiful. And then He teaches us all these things. Like in Colossians 3:8. Thank you, Lord. But now you must rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. You see, the more I look into Jesus, the more I look into His word, the more the old Deborah is chiseled away. Thank you, Lord. Amen? The more I look into His beautiful face, the more I take time, just to, the actor, he said, just take time away. And listen, and listen. In this busyness of this time, it is a very, very busy time. May I urge you just to step aside. Find this quiet place, whether it's in your closet, in your whether it's in your bathroom, wherever it is. If it means getting in your car and going and sitting down at Departure Bay. But just take yourself away from the fray. Okay, I'm nearly done. Okay, when I begin to feel anxious, and let me tell you, people, I have reason to feel anxious. I do not like flying, hate flying. And well, what does the Lord get us to do quite a lot? We fly, okay? We fly all over, and I always said, Mark, can we get there by car? Yes, it'll only take us 6 years, 5 hours, and 32 seconds. But I do not like flying. Every time I get into that airplane, my heart just started, this last time I started crying. It's ridiculous. But people who don't know Jesus happily get onto the plane and off they go. It takes so much faith, I feel, to get onto a plane to fly away. So there are times when I feel extremely anxious. And this is a psalm that helps me. It's Psalm 46. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. But if you could make a little note and just read it, because it's a very, very rich psalm. And then drop down to verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And so in this time when there's anxiety, when there's rushing around, and all of a sudden the Namo needs a four-lane highway instead of a two-lane, especially when the ferry comes in, right? There's traffic jams. Who ever thought we'd have a traffic jam in the Namo? But we do. And in that psalm, it talks about when the mountains melt and the seas roar and foam and froth. Let me tell you what, they keep on telling us about the mother that's going to come and shake our island, okay? And I think when we saw, I've even just felt a slight little earthquake, and I went, what the heck was that? We are out of control, all right? When things start to move and when there's earthquakes, you might even find yourself in a situation where you are out of control. Where you got no, you can't press the buttons to make things right. I remember years ago when I was in hospital and I was so sick. And they did not know what to do with me. Because every single day something more drastic, more life-threatening was happening. And I remember lying there in bed and listening to all these different reports. And my heart, I just felt the Lord say, be still. And know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. When we are in situations where we have no control, be still and know that I'm God. Because God is for you. He is not against you. He is the master of the universe. Can we have some of those slides up? He is the star-breathing God. I love that in Psalm 33. God in the beginning, right in Genesis, He spoke light into darkness, and just like that, there was light. He breathes the stars. He keeps the planets orbiting. He keeps the moon going around Earth, and it doesn't collide into us. Thank you, Jesus. He causes the tides to rise and fall. He causes the moon to wax and to wane. God sent Jesus for you, and he sent him for me because you are a miracle. The miracle of birth. The miracle of who you are. And God loves you. This Jehovah Shalom, the God of the universe, the Lord of lords. He is mighty. He is powerful. And he is intricately concerned with your every day, with your every need, with your every desire. The Lord says that he grants us the desires of our heart. But we need to seek him, seek his face. Amen? Amen. God is a good God. Amen. And so I just want to end off here with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him. You see that little word, trust? Although it's only a couple of letters, it's a very, very strong word. When you put your safety belt on in the car, you trust that that is going to keep you from harm. When you get onto an aeroplane, you trust that that pilot is going to get you safely to your destination. Amen? So why do we battle to trust in the God that keeps everything in such beautiful sync, that keeps everything in such beautiful harmony? So may the God fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you, say that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that we would leave this place today with the hope of the good news that God is a God of love, that he is a God of peace, and that he wants us to overflow unto all our neighbors and our friends. That is the best gift, I believe, that we could give to anybody over the season. Amen? God is good? Whoop! Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. If we could have the worship team up, we're just going to finish on the song, Christ Alone, Cornerstone. Mm. Yeah, it's the peace of God. If we could have that slide up on Shalom. You know, we try and fill that God vacuum that C.S. Lewis said is in all of our hearts. We try and fill it with stuff. And there's nothing that we can do to fill that. We can think we can buy stuff, get a new home, get a new car, things will be better. But there's a God-shaped vacuum in every single one of us. And he's a God that wants an intimate relationship with all of us. And if this is new to you, as you can hear, we are passionately in love with Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And if anything over this time, if we could just spend time, as Deborah said, take some time out and just consider him. Because the amazing promise of God says that if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. And I encourage you over this time, whether you know him or not, to seek him. Ask him to reveal his love for you. For he's a God, the word says, that is so slow to anger and abounding in love. And he loves you. We're going to go out singing the song, Cornerstone. Just because without Christ as a cornerstone, it's very difficult to walk through this life. And we want to thank you for coming and thank the teachers and the Sunday school once again for that amazing play. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing this amazing song.